everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live podcast. My name is Roddy Nabulsi. I'm joined by Jake Roos and Hall of Fame coach Jim Donnan, former Georgia Bulldogs head coach and star of the show, the reason everyone's tuning in. We are live at Champy's on Baxter Street. You really want to swing by here and come get some of this fantastic food they have, some of the best fried chicken you'll have in your life. You can get fried chicken liver. I know this, you don't find that everywhere. Fried green tomatoes, tamales.
Get you banana pudding or dirt pudding.
Oh, yeah. So, fantastic stuff here. Great place to come by and watch the Super Bowl. If you're looking for a place to catch it, this would be a good place to see Mecole Hardman get his ring.
You know. Yeah, not bad.
Just saying. You know, come place to come check it out. And, of course, we want to give a big shout-out to all of our other sponsors, Athens Ford, Aaron Overhead Doors, Your Pie, Academia Brewing Company, 365 Game Day, which is where you're watching this show. If you're watching it on Facebook, you're watching it on 365 Game Day. And then we're going to share it with 11 Alive, our corporate partners, our news breaking partners. Great stuff over at 11 Alive. Check them out as well. Busy, busy week, guys.
It's I thought the offseason was going to be like light. Anything but, man.
I actually had someone hit me up, coach, and say, hey, can you watch my dog? Because I know it's the off season for you now.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, your dog will stop. They're going out of town. They're like, hey, could you watch the dog? I'm like, I'll be happy to, but the dog's going to be as lonely as mine is. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just, it's not going to happen.
Well, it all broke when you left town.
This is true.
Going down to Valdosta. But,
yeah, and thanks to everybody in Valdosta and his little friends at the Georgia Beer Company for hooking us up with a bunch of beer. Went down there to speak to the Azalea City Civil Club. And on my way out of town that morning, we broke the news that Todd Munkin is now the new offensive coordinator at the University of Georgia. Coach, let's get your thoughts on Todd Munkin.
Well, you know, first of all, I want to say that when you're wrong, you're wrong. And I was wrong about stepping out on saying that there weren't going to be any changes. That was just that's what I thought based on the MO of what was going on before the bowl and during the bowl. But, you know, that's why Kirby's a head coach, and that's why, you know, we have these shows, this conjecture a lot of times, yeah. And certainly don't have any inside scoop on what went down and why it went down. You certainly feel bad for anybody's family when something like this happens for Coach Coley. I feel like we've been very supportive of him. But in the case of Todd, you know, I've known him for several years, and he's a very good football coach. I had a chance to cover some of his games when we were doing Conference USA. And when you get to go watch him practice and, you know, you have those meetings with the coaches to talk about what's going on, it was pretty evident he very much take charge guy. And he had Chip Lindsey there for his last couple years. That Chip was a really good young coach, and he was bringing him along and kind of mixing up some of the duties there. But I think – just the fact that this is a real shot for Todd. When you look at his career, I mean, he's had some really good offenses, but not on the stage that he's getting ready to have. I mean, you know, Tampa Bay is not really a contending team, and Cleveland last year, you know. So now he's coming into a top five program and have a chance to, you know, direct the offense with a really good supporting cast. And I feel like that's certainly somebody Kirby had a chance to, you know, look around the country, and this was a guy that he felt good about, and I feel good about him. I like everything that I've ever dealt with him. He's been very professional, and, you know, he's a very rigorous, tough coach that coaches him up, and that's what you need in today's football. You got to be able to run the ball. You know, they had Ito Smith when I was there, who's playing for the Falcons now. Yeah. And they had a really good quarterback that, you know, back up for the 49ers. But they really put up some big numbers. And going to be a big spring for him here with this new transfer and then the guys that we got on board. And I've heard that that they really are counting on Dwan to be cut loose this spring. I don't know anything official's been put out on that, but hopefully he's going to be cleared and we can see what he can do along with Beck and even this Priestley kid who, you know, has got some ability. So we got a pretty full quarterback room right now. And then the other addition with Buster Faulkner, who I've known ever since he played at Parkview High School, followed his career, you know, playing at Valdosta and then coaching a lot of different stops, Middle Tennessee, covered some of their games in Arkansas State and now Southern Miss. You know, almost came here. He was within about 5 hours of coming here last year, and then he got that job at the last second at as a coordinator of Southern Miss, and they went on to a really big year offensively, played in a bowl game, got their quarterback hurt, and a couple guys in the bowl, so he didn't play as well. But Buster knows Georgia. You know, he's from Parkview. He knows the area, and he'll be kind of like, I would think, kind of like Jay Johnson, you know, an off-the-field guy that can lend a lot of expertise on RPOs and, you know, spread offense. But, you know, it remains to be seen what's going to happen with James Coley. So we'll see about that. But two really good additions. I don't know if Watson's still going to be around. He's done a good job, too. So a lot of things up in the air. So we'll see what happens.
Some numbers on Todd Monken, tweeted out by Georgia after his hiring. 2018 was the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Bucks. First in passing offense, third in total offense in the NFL. That was with Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic!
2015 Southern Miss head coach, second team in college football history to have a 4,000-yard passer and two 1,000-yard rushers in 2015. 2012 Oklahoma State offensive coordinator, fourth in total yards. 2011 Oklahoma State offensive coordinator, third in total offense, second passing offense, second in scoring offense. So a guy who's been able to put together some pretty prolific passing attacks over
right.
the course
and
of his career.
And I think the job he did with old Whedon there, who was a baseball prospect that came out of the minor leagues and then came on and played for OSU, was just unbelievable. And they had that Blackburn kid at receiver. And we know over the years, Oklahoma State's always been very, very good offensively. They've had some really good coordinators. The coach at Houston now, I think Todd might have taken his place there, you know, and continue that air raid type deal they were doing. I don't think Todd's quite as much geared to the air raid as he is the pro style. And
you're stealing my question because I was going to ask you, is the air raid coming?
Yeah. I don't think in Kirby's lifetime.
Okay.
Maybe a few in practice, but, you know, Kirby's very flexible, though. I mean, I think sometimes we get a little misnomer.
That's not what we've heard. We've been told he's stubborn.
No, well, he is. I'm talking about he's flexible about offensive approach. He'll right. do what the players can do, and we put up some really big numbers there in 17. I mean, really huge numbers when you look at it.
Sure.
So, but I think the good – point about being a CFO or CEO is you do what you got to do for the program, and that's what Kirby's done throughout his career here. And I think some of these numbers sometimes are skewed a little bit. Most of the passing records are broken on teams that aren't winning on a big scale. I think that was what really helped Todd at USM was the fact they were multiple and ran the ball well, and they had a really big year his last year there. And just surprised the heck out of me when he went to the pros from there because they really looked like they were getting ready to just go up to the next level in that league because of the way they recruited. But, you know, he had a existing relationship with the head coach of the Tampa Bay team, and it was a great shot for him to go right there and be an offensive coordinator in the NFL. So, I mean, you got to look at it, and he took it. So you usually don't see head coaches leaving a head job, though.
I want to tell you about two things I was told by other coaches. One was about Todd Monken. They said, we'd love for him to come back to Southern Miss. You know, so the people in Hattiesburg, they're like, that guy, they would, you know, vouch for him very much so. And then I had another one talk about Buster Faulkner. Again, he won't be out on the recruiting trail, but this coach said, look, I go head-to-head with him on the recruiting trail, and he's really good, especially inside Gwinnett. And I'm like, well, you know, that's kind of a good place to be good. So if he can identify talent, he knows how to get kids to,
exactly.
you know, to go to, you know, to go see, follow him, you know, wherever he's at, that's pretty good. So if he's in the film room and he's looking over prospects, trying to help, you know, Marshall Malchow and those right. guys, you know, say, hey, here I am. I think that's, I mean, two offensive. And then add Matt Luke in.
That's
this.
What I'm saying. Yeah. It's,
so you got Matt Luke, you know, Monken, and then Buster. That's pretty good.
If you can keep Dell and Todd Hartley, I mean, that's a good staff. But I would say this about recruiting and about it doesn't have to do with any individual or anybody's significance or insignificance. But I don't really know of anybody in the history that I can remember of the staff here at Georgia that wasn't a good recruiter at Georgia. I mean, you walk in the door with a home, with a lead on anybody you go. So, you know, it's hard to replace guys, I know, in different areas. I mean, certain areas of the country, and that'll be difficult for us in South Florida for sure, because Coley had that same edge there because he's got such a good rep with the coaches. But boy, you're going to recruit at Georgia now. You're going to have a built-in advantage. But you're going against some good teams now. Clemson's on fire recruiting Alabama and – and looks like LSU. I mean, so I think getting Buster to help augment, you know, maybe talking to some of these kids on the phone or when they come in, you know, which they can do, will help. Because, you know, Kirby, there's some in-state guys we lost last year, but, you know, for certain reasons. But looks like we're out to a good start on the in-state one for 2021, that's for sure.
We got a couple questions here. You mentioned, you know, James Coley, like we said, a lot of speculation about what's going to happen for him next step. You know, will he stay on staff? We don't know that yet. We've heard that there's been communication with other staffs that are interested. Texas A&M primarily mentioned among those names.
I think that's a natural assumption.
Sure.
Just because they have a job open and he was, you know, previously worked for Jimbo at LSU and at Florida State, and then he was offered a job there. But career-wise, at this point, I think this is a big juncture for him, you know. And to me, I would say I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't go to the pros myself, because it's a really good step for him, you know. He used to work with Jason Garrett. He's got a lot of ties in Florida. But I got no insight on that, but
I actually heard that he has some NFL offers, and I guess maybe people were pointing to that Garrett relationship, but I'd heard that there are some offers on the table for him, which, you know, from just a, like you said, from a professional standpoint, I'd love to see him take one, simply because he'd be able to turn to folks and say, look, not that he would ever do it, because James isn't, you know, petty like that, but he could say, look, a lot of you people think that I'm only just a strong recruiter. You know, you didn't get any credit as offensive coordinator, but being a strong recruiter doesn't get you to the NFL. They don't give a damn if you're a strong recruiter. That doesn't help you any. Whatever you're a good coach,
they like for you to be an evaluator of talent, though. Yeah. I mean, and get, you know, develop the talent. And yeah. I think, you know, see what happens here. We got the Senior Bowl this week. Somebody might, you know, a lot of things break down there. We'll you know, I think. It's not fair to do any conjecture on my part because
I like the idea that Coley, if he stays at Georgia, they have a fantastic recruiter. I mean, if you look at all those, you know, 5 stars and 4 stars, all the kid he's pulled from Florida, it is just a who's who.
Sure.
I mean, if Miami, FSU, the Gators had those same kids, we're talking a completely different outlook.
On this last guy that just came in here with Jamie Newman, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And now we got a question here. And, Coach, like you said, you're not going to get too much into the conjecture with Coley. But, Roddy, I'll ask you this. Do you think maybe that the hire of Faulkner kind of is a preemptive move perhaps for the departure of Coley?
I don't see it.
Okay.
And it's nothing against Buster. I just don't – I mean – where you going to – maybe quarterbacks coach? That was my first thought if Coley left and he'd go over and coach quarterbacks. But
seems like maybe you'd want Monk in there.
See, that's my thought there. You know, it's like, okay, and what are you going to do, make Buster special teams? I mean, possible, but I like the coach's take that this guy will come in like a Jay Johnson, because I don't think people give Jay Johnson enough credit because he's so behind the scenes. He's not listed as one of those official coaches, but when he was at Georgia, his film breakdowns, of the other teams and scouting and self-scouting, you know, pre-scouting and self-scouting, fantastic. Guy has a ton of knowledge. So,
plus he was an all-conference quarterback at up there at Northern Iowa. I mean, the guy's played the position. And
and that's what was Mel Tucker's first pick. You know, he's like, hey, I'm going here.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that was the first guy he called, but it was one of the first bits of news that came out was, hey, Jay Johnson's going with him. And Mel Tucker, that man knows his football, you know.
Hey, so really good
year. He's going to pick somebody smart.
First year there, 5-7, and had a couple games he lost in overtime. You know, it's a big turnaround for him, and they're really doing good recruiting I think they're going to, you know, do a really good job in that Pac-12 with a lot like what Mario Cristobal's doing at Oregon, using that Alabama, that Georgia footprint, you know, on the national recruiting and, you know, really coming in there with a lot of analysts and recruiting people and personnel people and really scouring the country for good talent. And, you know, Mel knows how to do it.
Now, I don't know. I mean, maybe with Watson here.
Mel actually coached on the Jaguar staff when Todd was there. So they, you know, they were together too.
See, I never know. You know every coach and where they've been. I have no idea. But I do like that. If when you talk about Watson, Georgia's offensive analyst, you know, we've already broken the news about multiple guys who are in that kind of defensive quality control, like Austin Armstrong leaving. We've seen other guys getting jobs going elsewhere. Usually that offensive defensive analyst or that offensive defensive quality control guy, it's usually like a 1 year gig, 2 year gig, and sure. Especially if you can get that.
Look at the way some of them moving. I want to congratulate to Austin. People don't know hear about these guys, but really behind the scenes guy. Very immaculate in the way he worked at things and just really detailed guy. And, you know, I'm sure Kirby helped him, but the real key there was Coach Lanning has an existing relationship with the new defensive coordinator there. Rhodes has left and gone with Aranda or whatever his name.
Dave Aranda.
Aranda, excuse me. Help me, Rhonda. So he's gone with him to Baylor. But Lanning had worked with the new DC and, you know, helped Austin get that job. And I think that's part of your deal as a coach. You want to keep people, but at the same time, you want to help promote them. And congratulations to Austin. Getting married here soon,
really?
Just a really good young man, and I'm glad for him, and I'm glad for I'm sure that we'll bring in some new guys here. That's one thing that they have the coaches convention that Kirby sends some of the people out there to interview some young guys for these roles and how they'll come in. You know, we got two new strength coaches. I saw where you talked about that. I don't know anything about either one of them, but it's always good to have people, you know, in there quickly when you lose two like we did. You know, Ed.
Oh, you're right in the middle of the offseason. Yeah, these guys are doing lifts now.
Ellis and Jamil both. I think Jamil's a rising star. I could see him being a guy down the road that just would, you know, when Scott Sinclair decides to retire or what. I mean, he's a big-time strength guy.
I feel like Scott Sinclair may not retire. He may outlive all of us based on what we know about conventional health.
I like Scott. I see he's been a big part of the success here.
I wanted to ask you this. We're getting a lot of questions over on the board, Coach, about Todd Monken's offense, and I thought this was particularly an interesting one. Georgia Devil Dogs asked, he says,
did you watch the Falcons this year?
Yeah.
It's Todd Monken's offense. I mean, that's the guy calling the plays there.
That's true. That's true. Dirk Cutter.
Dirk Cutter, that's who they work. Tampa Bay, that's pretty much their offense, I think.
He says
now, in college, you might change back a little bit. Some of the things that you do with the RPOs, but very good running game. Throws the ball down the field. I mean, be nice if Julio would come over here, too. it's just, you know, that's where it all kind of – to me, that's what they did at Tampa Bay, and a lot of the stuff he did at Southern Miss was the same.
Anything that stands out to you, though, particularly that lines up with Jamie Newman's skill set and makes you feel like that could be something that kind of went into this decision?
Well, when I did those games at Southern Miss, they didn't really run a lot of quarterback predetermined runs like quarterback counter or zone keep or things like that. They did run the quarterback draw out of empty, which is really, you know, no backs, which is really a very good way to beat some of these different exotic coverage. And you saw Joe Brady calling them for Burrow in the game where they ran a quarterback draw really big, set up that last score for him. They ran it on the goal line. So I think he was good at doing that and really good at throwing the ball to their backs, you know. Like I said, Ito Smith and that other kid, I don't remember what his name was, caught a lot of balls too. So, but you know, very, very good vertical passing game too, which I like. throwing the ball over the middle. He seemed to do a good job with that. You know, they had a really good tight end that
over the middle? That's been no man's land the last few years.
But the tight end was very efficient at underneath stuff, you know, misdirection, crossing routes and things like that. And he just had a thing that sticks out. They had this unbelievable field goal kicker that was just – Tommy gun guy kicked some from way out, but they didn't kick a lot of short ones. They were scoring touchdowns.
You mentioned it's interesting. You mentioned Ito Smith. We got a lot of questions about James Cook. You know, a guy, a little kind of a smaller running back out of the backfield. You mentioned some of the things that they're able to do with that in the Munkin offense. Be interesting to see how that benefits James Cook this year.
Yeah, James has had too many injuries this year. I mean, you know, whenever every time he got ready. But I think it'll be interesting to see him and what they did with Ito a lot there at Southern Miss was a lot like what LSU did with Edwards-Hilaire.
Yeah,
Edwards-Hilaire, where they line him up out and we did that against Florida really good. You know, where we had Harrion lined up outside or Swift outside, and then brought him back in, but had the mismatches on the perimeter. So. You know, it'll be come to the spring game. We'll see. And then we won't show anything because we played the first game.
Hey, look for the deep ball. That won't be there.
I did want to say, too, don't ever let people tell you that Kirby Smart doesn't listen to the fans because, just like you wanted, he went out and got LSU's passing game coordinator. Now, given he was the passing game coordinator from 05 to 06, so not Joe Brady, yeah. but you got your wish one way or the other.
He was there with Les Miles, right?
That's right. That is right.
And he had known Les from when he was at Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oklahoma State, LSU, Jacksonville, Oklahoma State again, Southern Miss is the head coach.
Hey, was he there when Georgia played Oklahoma State?
That's a good question.
I have to ask Dave.
No, I don't think so.
Georgia played them in like 2000.
I think they'd wrapped that series already.
Yeah, we got behind early in that game out there too, didn't we?
Going up against one of the
UGA,
best
Oklahoma
wide
State
receivers ever who never
– What was that series, the last – yeah, that those two – we're trying to figure out if he was there. I don't think so, though.
It's like 2011, something like that. When was it?
Well, he might have been there if it was 11.
I just remember the giant paddles whack.
07, 09. No, he was in Jacksonville at that time.
For the Jags?
Yeah. But you got to think, I mean, if you look at this guy's career trajectory, starting in 2000, he gets to Louisiana Tech. And really from there, I mean, you know, it's not like he ever has to take a severe step back at all. You go from La Tech, Oklahoma State, LSU, Jacksonville, Oklahoma State again, Southern Miss is the head coach, Tampa Bay OC, Browns OC, and now the OC at Georgia. So a pretty nice career trajectory. Yeah. You can tell that he's pretty highly thought of in the way that he's been able to maintain.
Yeah, and I think he had some really interesting scenarios last year after he got out, they got let go at Tampa. I know several jobs that he was right in the thick of things. You know, I know he talked to the Jaguars because Doug Marone, who coached me, told him he talked to him. And so I think this year he probably had the same thing. He had the Eagles jobs open. He had the Jaguars. But Jimmy Sexton told him he knew Kirby.
So come on to Georgia. Go be the offensive coordinator in college. I like the hire. I like bringing Buster Douglas. And, again, losing Sam Pittman is
Faulkner.
Huge.
Excuse me. Buster Douglas would be an interesting hire.
So, Buster Faulkner.
You said Buster Douglas?
Yeah. I do it every time.
When was he beating that guy in Japan, or what was it?
It had been a while. So, you bring them in. Losing Sam was big. You know, losing Scott Found, big. But you bring it in. Talented guys. Kirby just the same exact thing he does on the recruiting trail. You lose all these guys to the NFL, he brings in talented replacements. You lose guys to transfer, you lose guys to injury, he brings in replacements. I swear, yeah, all he does is sit around and look at, you know, plan B, plan C, plan
D. He's always doing
that. I mean, we saw offers going out last night.
Yeah.
And when you look at the original staff now, I think Schumann and Dell are the only two left, unless Coley stays, right?
Yeah, you're right. Wow. That's a lot of turnover for 4 years.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway.
But the first year we were able to add 10. The first year we just had 9, I think.
Yeah. So still a lot. Speaking of turnover, if your car won't turn over, you need to go out to Athens Ford, get them to fix it. Cool thing, if you check out Athens Ford, you can hit the live chat and talk to them. So you don't actually have to, you know, if you say you're busy working, you don't want to have people to catch you, you know. If you're not doing your job or just kind of hanging
maybe
out.
Maybe you're perusing the vent at UGASports.com.
Just saying. And you need to reach out to them and say, hey, look, my car's making this sound. And if you can type it out, they can tell you what's going on with it. But you can also make your appointment. So if you go to Athens Ford, click on service, you know, it says make your appointment. So you tell them, well, what's doing? Are you a returning customer or a new customer? What services do you need? It pops up the calendar. It lets you pick the spot. I mean, how easy is that? You don't have to call them up and say, hey, what do you have available next Thursday at 9? You know, you just go ahead and put it in there. So if you need an oil change, any customization work done, they do amazing stuff out there in the customs area. Something you want to get looked at, something you want to get done. Like I had a roof rack put on mine. Of course, I set up the appointment, went out there, sat in that very nice waiting room with a great big recliners and nice comfy couch, the free coffee, free drinks, free Coke drinks, soft drinks, not cocktails. Although if you carried in some vodka, they probably wouldn't care if you mixed it with something. I'm not saying they would, but I'm not saying they would.
Oh, here's how we lose that sponsorship.
Just saying. Swing out to our friends at Athens Ford. They will take great care of you. And if you need a new vehicle, they have a ton of specials. But do me a favor and go to their website, athensford.com, before you go out there and hit yes, I would like $500 off of a vehicle, new or pre-owned. They will automatically give you $500 just to visit their website. So that's pretty easy.
Skip the vodka if you're taking a test drive. All right. Got a lot of questions rolling in. Of course, one of the big storylines to talk about today, about 2 hours before we came on the air, UGA picks up the top quarterback in the class of 2021 in Brock Vandegrift, five-star out of Prince Avenue out there in Bogart, Georgia, coached up by his father, Greg Vandegrift, a very good coach, has been all over the area, and has really helped to maintain that program since the departure of Jeff Heron. They've not dropped off at all. Coach, your thoughts on Brock? I'm interested to see if you've had a chance to watch some film and see what you think of him.
You know, I've never had a chance to watch him play live. Don't get out to the high school games as much as I used to because of my wife's situation. But I think certainly the fact that when he did make that decision to go to Oklahoma, a lot of us were shocked, you know, because thought that, you know, it just looked like a no-brainer to come here because of what our situation was with Jake leaving and all that, you know. But, you know, absence sometimes doesn't make the heart grow fonder. I'm sure his family, listening to him, had a big tie on getting him to stay close to home. Because the one thing I always used to tell every kid when I'd go into their home, and I also did it, know how I felt, the guy that I really wanted to watch me play more than anybody, and of course I wanted my mother, but she didn't understand, I wanted my dad to watch me play. He watched me play my whole life, every game I ever played. So you go in there and you say, hey, do you really think that your parents are going to be able to watch you play every game and your grandparents, all that? So I'm sure that was big for him.
Great grandparents, too.
We've heard that. But, you know, he's a very athletic kid, got a good arm, and grown up with ball, you know, with his dad being the coach. And he knows what it means to be a quarterback at Georgia because, you know, that's the thing about David Green growing up, you know, over there in Gwinnett. It's a huge factor. If you can – guys like him and DJ Shockley and Zaire, all these guys over the years, you do it in the state, boy, you got it set. So he should be kind of like, Pied Piper, too, attracting a lot of good players, knowing that you got a guy like him coming in for that 21 class. So huge, huge get for Georgia.
I really love the pickup for all the reasons you mentioned. His dad, Greg Vandegrift, said, look, it sets you up for life. We've come to realize that, you know, it's something that we taught at Brock about. You go to Oklahoma, you play quarterback, you come back to Georgia, that's not going to mean as much as if you stayed out there. He said, but you play here, you come live here, you're set up. I'm interested in your thoughts.
Hopefully win Big Two.
Well, sure, sure. But I'm interested in your thoughts about him being so close and how that can be an advantage for Georgia, because Patrick Garbin released the other day, or just earlier today, only two Athens area kids have been taken or have committed to Georgia, I think since 2000 is what he's
2002.
Had. 2002. And that was Jahlil Liggins and Zach Mettenberger.
Really?
So having a kid of this caliber, this close to home, how can that influence recruiting?
Well, I think for his standpoint, the fact that he can come over here and study tape, you know, you can come on campus as many times as you want to, you know, as long as you're wherever you're from, as long as you pay your way. So it'd be easy access for him to come over here and watch a lot of practices and get a jump start on everything. Hopefully he can graduate early and come in next January. But as far as local guys, I mean, a lot of these young kids will recognize the fact that, hey, that's the quarterback at Georgia. You know, I want to go follow his footsteps. So there's some good players here that have left. You know, I mean, we've lost some when I was here, you know, but we were able to get Damon Gary, and he did a terrific job for us. But we lost the corner to South Carolina, which
Dante
Robinson was a bad loss for us. But I still get on Rodney Garner about that. But I think it's just a big deal for him to stay at home. You know, a lot of times, kid, and I wouldn't say this at Georgia, but a lot of times there's so much scrutiny in the local area that a lot of times kids just leave and go where they don't get that at other schools, you know. And I think Brock certainly understands the scrutiny he's going to be under, and he can't be in any tougher situation than being a coach's son, which, you know, everybody's out there probably, you know, early say, hey, he's getting to play because of the coach. But they know what kind of kid he is in that small school. So I really don't have a really good feel for a lot about him, like hopefully I'm going to have here, as far as, you know, everything I've heard. He's a great kid and all that, and I know his dad's always been nice to me. So kudos to Kirby. And, you know, I think – certainly Coley did a good job on him, too. You got to give him a lot of credit. And I think from what you wrote that they had a good meeting with Coach Munkin and, you know, solidified everything about what they were doing, too. So because you need to know who your boss is going to be, and he's going to be working under Todd. So that was important, I'm sure.
Well, and I mentioned, too, over on Twitter today, I think that the advantage of – you got a kid going up to, I don't know, the kid goes and visits Knoxville, or a five-star receiver goes and visits Knoxville, or he goes and visits Penn State, and he's from Florida, and they drove, and he's driving back, and they say, you know what, we'll just swing by Georgia. They're going to be able to get on the horn and say, hey, Brock, why don't you come over and talk to this kid? And he's going to be able to get a feel for that guy, and I think that's a really unique advantage.
It is. That's a good point.
I'll tell you, I have seen Brock a lot. He's torched Athens Christian. He's we've been frustrated watching that kid just pick us apart. You know, when back in middle school,
everyone will be happy to see Brock graduate.
Yes,
I think.
Yes,
everyone
absolutely.
At Athens Christian, as Georgia fans, and also to get him out of the league.
Yeah, it's like, get the hell out of our district, man! Come on, you're killing us. But it's a couple things about Brock that folks may not know. I've mentioned numerous times that he's a tough kid. I've seen him take just an absolute beating, bounce back up. Very accurate. I mean, to be the number one rated pro style passer, you're going to expect a high amount of accuracy. We've seen that. Now, yes, he plays in 1A private. That is not the toughest conference out there, you know, or toughest division of Georgia high school football. But we've had him in camps, and if you watch kids' mechanics, and again, I don't want to come off as some like quarterback analyst. You know, I'm a jumped up photographer, but I can tell you, having done this a long time, that kid looks sharp when he goes through his mechanics. Brad Johnson signed off on him in eighth grade, saying this kid could play.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm like, Tate Ratledge played 1A private ball. That seemed to work out okay for everybody.
I know, I'm just saying you can get great players out of there.
Sure.
My only fear for Brock is like, okay, a minor adjustment period as it goes up against the likes of an Eric Stokes or a Tyson Campbell, you know, guys like that, a Tariq Stevenson. But, you know, it's like, okay, this is tougher. Here's a kid who's going to work his tail off until he can beat those guys on throws. So
that's where coming in early helps you so much. Yeah. I mean, this gives you you look at, even though Jake Fromm played in a really good offense and, you know, pretty high level league down there, you know, that spring that he had was invaluable to getting him ready for when Eason got hurt. You know, he was
eight plays into the season, and he was thrown into the fire. If he hadn't been here spring, God, can you imagine what would have happened?
Yeah, I
mean, and then the following week at Notre Dame,
he would have reacted okay, knowing the way Jake is. But still, that he went through the briar patch in the spring. I mean, because you know he had some ups and downs, but that's part of anybody going through your first spring practice. I mean, but I think that's what'll help help Brock getting in here, and I think it's going to help Beck. I mean, let's don't lose sight of the fact that Beck was a highly recruited guy that had a chance to go to Alabama and decommitted, right, and then came here. Or was he committed to Alabama, or was he got down
there? He was committed to Alabama at one point,
and
yes.
And then Florida really wanted him, and, you know.
And, you got, like you said, you mentioned.
We continue to just get quarterbacks from Florida, you know. I mean, I'm talking about take them away that they really own, you know. I mean, I thought everybody was talking about, of course, you weren't. You said you thought he was coming here, but everybody's, hey, well, I guarantee you Mullen's going to jump all over Vandegrift now. But
well, I think he tried.
Yeah, that's a there was a – you saw one of our Florida publisher retweeted our story, and he's like, well, Brock Vandegrift is off the list. And I'm like, where are you turning to now, Dan?
Yeah, sure. Randall
Felipe
White.
Franks. Oh, he left.
Randall White here with an interesting one for you, Coach.
Where did Felipe's going to Arkansas? Huh?
He's going in Sam Pittman.
Sam Pittman's doing work.
It's going to be interesting to see running that offense, that what they're going to do with that offense. You know, Kendall Browles.
Yeah.
That Baylor offense.
Very good. They've got a good coach. They've got a good staff together up there.
You're going to do what? Let's line up and run Burma Road.
Randall White here with a question. Coach, I'm interested to know your insight on this, because I'm sure you know more than I do on it. He says, as a local commit, what kind of things can Brock participate in? How many practices can he attend? How much of a jump can he get on learning the offense?
He can come over here 365 if he wants to come here as many times as he wants. He can't work out with the team. He can't lift weights over here. He can't do anything until he enrolls. But he can come over here again this summer to camp like he did last year and throw to a lot of these receivers that are around here that will be coming in, you know, to be 2021 receivers. But I think it's just a tremendous advantage to be able to, you know, over the years we've seen guys come to spring practice and what they did. We saw Milton last year here.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it on our show. It's nothing like watching your fellow players if you are a dog, or like, you know, we saw Ryan Fitzpatrick out there. I mean, what's Fitzpatrick's first name for us? The tight end.
What's Goody. Ryland.
No, what's Fitzpatrick?
John Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, we didn't have the quarterback here, but John Fitzpatrick came over here a couple of springs ago, and he was watching, you know. So you look at your position coach, and you go in there and meet with him, you can do all that. So it'll be good for him, and he'll have a really good grasp. And when with computers now and, you know, the way they break down stuff and tapes and their offense is on a little little thing you can send out to him. He'll be way ahead of the curve as far as knowing what to do by the time he gets here.
A lot of people asking too. Actually, we'll touch on this one because this is something we can dive into pretty heavily. I want to touch on this in the next segment.
Well, before we move on to that, let's give a big shout out to our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors, huge sponsor of UGASports.com, huge sponsor of our podcast. They sponsor our Georgia 321 report where we break a lot of news. Ryan Lucia and the folks out there are just a wonderful group of dog supporting business owners and managers. If you get a chance and you are a Georgia fan, you can actually call up Aaron Overhead Doors. And of course you can set up your, for the time for them to come out, just like you can when you're dropping your car off at Athens Ford. You can book online. So you say, hey, I need you guys to come out this time. They come out for free. They don't charge you for it. But if you do decide to go with them and you tell them you are a Georgia fan, you're going to get 10% off on whatever you do. So if you need $1,000 worth of work done, you're going to get it for $900. You saved $100 just by telling them you're a Georgia fan. I don't know any company really that says, hey, we're willing to discount our product or our services to you by 10% just because you are a fan of a program. And hell, and they're not going to come by your house and make go, you know, make you take them into your bulldog room or anything like that. You just tell them. They're going to trust that you're an honest person and take you at your word if you're a Georgia fan. Now, if you're not a Georgia fan, you pay full fare. But you should be a Georgia fan, so that's your fault. Oh, and then they're bringing a feline pie. I lost my train of thought.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
need to finish this commercial because I'm lost. Anyway, if you get a chance, check out the folks at Aaron Overhead Doors. That's A-A-R-O-N. I know
A-A-Ron.
My enunciation is garbage, and I run it together really fast, but it's A-A-R-O-N, like Aaron the name. Aaron Overhead Doors. 4.96 rating from 669 verified Nearby Now reviews. So if when you're looking, you want to look them up on Yelp or whatever the rating things are, they are through the roof. So get a chance, check them out.
Get your 10% off. Yep. All right. Platinum Glove 13 over on the board with a very interesting question. And I think that this is one that we can kind of get into pretty heavy here. 2020 almost wrapping up. We saw a couple offers, as you mentioned, go out last night. Ladd McConkey, the 5'11", about 165, 170-pound receiver out of North Murray High School up there in Chatsworth, Georgia. That was a bit of a surprise to see. You just don't – I guess Luke Griffin was also from North Murray. So you don't see a lot of the North Murray guys popping up everywhere. But Kirby and – Hartley go up yesterday, get an in-home visit, get a chance to watch the kid play basketball, decide to move on the offer.
You got to look at it like this. I mean, you're always looking into the future. You got Robertson who's going to leave after next year. You got Blaylock up in the air with a knee injury. You know, hopefully he's going to have, you know, every time I've seen him over there, he's moving around really well. But you also got to look who else is in the fold there as a slot. You know, maybe Arian Smith will play slot. Who knows what will happen with Roseme? Who knows? But, you know, these other guys, Burton is an outside guy. Robinson's an outside guy. So you gotta think that that's what they're looking at there.
I agree. I completely agree. McConkey, go watch the film. Look, if you don't believe me, the kid from Chatsworth can mix it up like that. Go watch the film.
It's got breaks.
Yeah, he can put some moves on.
Seriously though, why would you ever doubt Kirby taking anybody? No, I don't know many. I mean, I can't think of many guys he's missed on since I've been around here. At least as far as what their contribution would be. I mean, just the guy. There hasn't been a complete bust to them. I mean, there probably you could say a couple guys, but I don't want to talk about them. But I'm saying don't question his roster management. Come on.
Well, that's my point.
What about those bringing in the quarterback, bringing in the tight end? I mean.
Plans A, B, C, and D.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is out there on those 2021 kids.
Yeah, and that's actually what our next question was asking. He says, if you're Kirby going into 2021, who are your personal top five wants or biggest needs? What are some of the needs that you're identifying moving out of this cycle and into the next cycle? I mean, is there anything that jumps off the page?
Quarterback.
Quarterback, certainly. look,
you got to probably work on some linebackers because all of a sudden you're going to lose some guys there quickly.
Merrick Carter.
Things look good at running back here right now.
He included wants in this one, so I'm going to say, look, you don't often get the chance to take fight for the number one offensive tackle in America, though you did get him this year after the re-rankings. But next year's 2021 offensive tackle, top guy, Amarius Mims down there in Cochran, Georgia, just below Macon.
Mims and, Micah Morris
also. Yeah, you got Terrence Ferguson, who's a Rivals top 50 player.
Well, I tell you, Terrence Ferguson, watch the tape. You know, he's a little bit underdeveloped physically from the standpoint of just being as big. I don't mean underdeveloped. He's just not as big as those other guys, massive. But, boy, on tape, he jumps out at you the way he plays. You know, just – and that kid from North Carolina came in here this weekend.
Yeah, he's Jared Wilson. But, absolutely.
Boy, I tell you, that's the thing about last weekend, just the who's who of really good players coming in here. And they could have gone anywhere, you know, for that weekend.
Yeah, very strong.
Good coverage by you there. You and your cohorts, I mean, I don't know much about these guys, so I read about what you tell me, so that's good. The 2020 ones, I do a little bit on the 2020.
I want to point out something with the 2020 kids, to back up a little bit. The top 100 is out now, the final top 100 for the Rivals rankings.
Is that on 24/7 or ours?
No, that's on ours.
I was kidding you. I know. Give me a bump.
No, I'm cutting you off. Cutting them off. You see this pie down here? You get none.
So when you said the top tackle, who was ranked?
Broderick Jones climbed up to number one in the nation.
Good job, yep. Broderick. And you still feel good about him, right?
I do feel good about Broderick.
The James Brown of recruiters.
Can you imagine signing Broderick Jones and Mims in back-to-back classes? Number one offensive tackle in the nation, two times coming from the state of Georgia. That's pretty good. But there are 9-100 guys who are committed or signed with the University of Georgia in the top 100. I'm not a big math guy, but if you have a top 100 players in the nation,
that's almost like
nine of them going to Georgia.
That's almost like getting a 10% deal off of Aaron overhead doors.
Oh, wow, that's good. Hey, write that down. I need to remember that for next week. Broderick Jones.
So give us a nine.
Yeah, Broderick Jones comes in at number 5. Keely Ringo comes in at number 7. So two guys in the top 10. Tate Ratledge, another Georgia offensive tackle.
Should be noted, I just double-checked this, the position rankings have not been updated. Georgia with the number 1 and number 2 offensive tackle in the class of 2020.
You took my question because I'm saying Tate Ratledge comes in at number 12. So if you got Tate Ratledge at 12 and Broderick Jones at 5, where did Paris Johnson wind up?
Paris Johnson, I believe, becomes 3rd on the list.
That's what he gets for going to Ohio State.
Kendall Milton, it comes in at number 29, so that gives you 4 in the top 30. Darnell Washington comes in at number 32.
I just got to say something else about Kendall Milton, and you keep going. You talk about somebody when he walks down the hall, just move over.
Yeah.
Make sure you get plenty of room because you don't want to bump into him and have a bruise on your arm.
I thought you were going to say that about Darnell Washington.
Well, I mean, too, but I mean, Kendall Milton.
Yeah, Darnell's just giant.
I'm looking at Kendall Milton like Henry.
Oh, there you go. So you got Kendall Milton at 29, Darnell Washington at 32, Mikael Sherman.
Mikael, yeah.
Okay. I almost want to say it badly. 39, so that gives you – oh, and Jalen Carter moves up to number 49 in the nation.
100 about spots. Time. 100 about spot time. Jump for him.
How long did it take for us to get that across to him?
It only matters on the last one.
He could move up to 1.
Yeah, I agree with you. So that gives you 7.
Who's number 1 in the country?
Number 1 in the country is Brian Bercy.
Yeah. He's good.
He is.
So that gives you 7 players in the top 50. So think about that. So now we can say, and there have been times in years past where you could talk about Georgia's players in the top 100, and they started around 65. And
how many in the top 20, though? We had
3 in the top 20, 5 in the top 32.
9 in the 100.
7 in the top 100. And then Marcus Roseme comes in at 71, and Cedric Van Pran comes in at 83. So that gives you 9 in the top 100.
And for those of you wondering, because I know some people, I got this question a lot, Darnell Washington does hold on to the 5th star. We just confirmed that. So Kendall Milton, Darnell Washington.
Is Milton 5
Tate Ratledge,
star?
Keely Ringo, and Broderick Jones.
How many 5 stars we got?
5.
5. How many is Florida got? No, that's great.
No, well, and then you know you've got people asking about the Zach Evans thing again. There's all kinds of rumors flying about around about that.
I blame you for this.
This
is your fault.
No, I just said never say never.
Which is code for he signed and he's coming to Georgia.
It's not that. If it was, I would tell you, but I don't know anything about Evans except.
Blink if he's coming.
Who knows? It's still wide open as far as what he's going to do. But
don't do all the drinking, man.
No, like I said, the potential remains out there, you know, for that. I'm not saying it's going to happen at all. Florida has 1.
Edwards coming Jermon in this Dexter. Weekend. And Edwards Dexter coming in up. This weekend.
Yeah, Dejan Edwards soon to visit as well.
Didn't he just get another offer? Another visit. No, he took a visit. Edwards did. Didn't he?
Went to Arkansas this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you ever read your site?
No. As did Broderick Jones. He was also up in Arkansas. But, you know, overall, some solid movement for these guys. I think you got to be pretty pleased with how this class is shaken out. If you get the 1 and 2 offensive tackle and you lose Sam Pittman.
That's a good point.
You know.
Anyway, don't forget, you could also get Cedric Van Pran, the top centers at 83.
Lindbergh's stud.
Yeah, Lindbergh can play.
Oh, he looked fantastic in that Polynesian thing.
Yeah, always like getting a center though, like Van Pran. I mean, you know, you see what Hill's doing here. I mean, it's just this guy's a natural center, and
I also like that Van Pran, one of the smartest kids we've spoken to. Just great football knowledge, but a very good intellectual guy. When these teams are trying to move around, like that 3-3-5 stack we saw against Baylor, where they're trying to trick him. Good luck fooling Van Pran. That kid's he's pretty bright. So,
I would say this because I've been saving it. When I see Mims, you know, in person,
monster.
Doesn't make my mouth water. Makes feel like Niagara Falls. Yeah. That guy is.
It's ridiculous how
good
big he is.
Lord.
Isn't it?
Let's tell the story of the Rivals camp last year. He shows up. Now maybe it was camp prior to that, but he shows up and we're like, who's that kid? And the number he was wearing was wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. We're like, but who's. And we look at it on the list, we're like, that can't be who that is because. Who's that kid?
Yeah.
We can want to know who he. I mean, this guy's just.
Well, he's one of those
foot taller than everybody else. Too.
Exactly. Yeah, he walks into the camp and he's I mean, his shoulders are at the heads of all the other kids. You're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, and you look at him, you're like, that's not who this is.
He was here this summer, and our own players were out there, and he was out there, you know, and I mean, just made some of our players look like.
Very legitimate, 6'7.5", 315, 330 pounds, has really done a great job of reshaping his body. You know, was a little heavy early on in his career, but really got serious about it. Looks great now, in great shape. And what I really love about him, too, speaks to his athleticism and his ability, his footwork. Played a lot of tight end for Bleckley before transitioning to offensive tackle.
Got Muhammad Ali feet.
Woo! There you go. I'll take it. But you're going to have a battle on your hands, Georgia fans, because everybody in the nation wants that kid. What's he, number two in the nation or something like that?
He is number two in the nation, correct.
So you just picked up the number four kid in the nation in Brock Vandegrift this morning. If you can get him, now all of a sudden, granted, ratings change, rankings change, they go up and down. And the reason I bring up the top 100, normally we don't talk about him.
He's always wanted to come to Georgia, though, hadn't he?
Mims, yeah, he's pretty high on him for sure.
He's still coming.
The dream school, he said.
Yeah.
And just looking ahead to next year, for those wondering, you got Amarius Mims in the top 10. Brock Vandegrift, number 4 in the top 10. You've got Tommy Brockermeyer, number 9 in the top 10, who mentioned that Georgia is on his short list recently.
Where is he?
He is out of Texas. He was a kid who did not have an offer, had come down and I think made his top 5 already. Georgia gets in and offers, and immediately he says, nope, I've got a top 6 now.
Top 6, that says a lot for your program when the guy's doing that.
Yep.
I love it.
You're saying he didn't have an offer from us, but he had plenty others.
Yeah.
What position?
Offensive tackle. He's a freak.
You know, the one thing that happens to you, and I'll just interject this, you get the guys, your base people, but you get a guy in there like Matt Luke who has extensive ties around the country through other coaching stops that he's made. So you add those to the ones that Georgia already has, and you just naturally pick up some players maybe – starting out a little bit ahead of the game in the 2021 class that you wouldn't, right? And then hopefully make up for some that you were behind on because you are Georgia. You know what I mean? Like Mims' case, he just wants to meet the guy. And I think that's something that Kirby's looking into when he makes these hires. I mean, Matt Luke is jumping out there and getting after it.
Our good buddy Gager, who posts all the time over at UGASports.com. Shout out to you, Gager.
Gager.
He says Barrett Carter looks like a Roquan Smith clone. If for 2021, I told somebody the other day, somebody on the board said, I guess I'd be pretty happy if Barrett Carter committed. I said, you should be thrilled if you're able to land that kid, and especially if he brings Jordan Hancock with him from North Gwinnett.
Ask Gager where he's going, because this guy was the national winner when it comes to predicting where kids were going. So, Gager, tell us. We need to get him on staff.
I would add this about Roquan. I saw him over here right after he had his surgery. He came back to let Dr. Hancock do the surgery, who did the one on his other shoulder. And he was talking about how much – the preparation that he had here at Georgia as far as defensive, the way we call defenses, the way we run coverages, the way they kept him in the game, you know, and then take him out, really helped him at making that transition to the Bears, and particularly the fact that they switched coordinators from one year to the next. But, you know, everything that he learned at Georgia really helped him keep his base up there. So I think that's something that
Kirby needs to record that play for every defensive guy that comes in.
Well, they do that. Oh. But I thought it was good to hear Roquan talking about that, the way it's, you know, he's really high on Coach Schumann, and he should be. I mean, there's a good example of a guy that nobody knew anything about 4 years ago, and now, congratulations, I saw where Coach Schumann and his wife had their little boy baptized yesterday. What a great addition he's been to our staff, and had no experience coaching on the field.
Rising star in the profession. Right.
First, again, that was Kirby's first call, and we're like, who the hell is Schumann?
Yeah.
And that's what he gets. So, again.
Who the hell are you?
I'm just saying, to Coach's point, you trust him. Look, I mean, if you trust him with coaches, you trust him with players, you know, and then you hopefully you trust that he can get it done for a national title. Speaking of big titles, there's going to be a Super Bowl game in less than 2 weeks. If you a great place to watch it would be Academia Brewing Company. They have a Super Bowl tailgate from 6:30 p.m. till midnight or however long the game goes. Great place. You know, I said when I first started the show, I said to come by Champions and watch the game, but another great place to watch would be Academia. They have the giant projection screens up. The best beer anywhere. Tons of different beers. Tons of collaborations with other breweries.
Yeah.
I got the word right today. And when you get a chance, you come into town, you got a whole bunch of people, swing by there. Check them out. Just go in, you know, check out the lounge on the right where you can just sit in the nice couch and have a beer. Walk up, get a little flight, you know, try different ones, and then hit the food. You know, so if you got a quick lunch, you don't have to go out there for all these events that we talk about, but they do host some fantastic events, and the Super Bowl tailgate will be a big one to go to. Also, I want to give a big shout out to our friends at YourPie. They're still opening new locations, 70 plus locations all over the country, mostly here in the Southeast, because it started here in Athens, Georgia, about half a mile from where we are sitting. When you have guys like Drew and Natalie French, they go to Italy, they come back, they decide to start the whole YourPie franchise. Georgia graduates, Georgia fans, Georgia supporters. And every time you go and stop in there, you know, you are taking care of someone who takes care of your dog. So same with the friends at Academia. Again, the big Georgia big Georgia supporters, Georgia alums, so take care of them as well.
Absolutely. No question about it. No, I'm just checking in on all our competition to make sure that we're still beating them.
So let's talk a little recruiting here, and I'm going to be Ed McMahon asking you, Johnny.
Oh, yes, sir. Hey. You are correct, sir.
Hey. Yeah. Karnak. So we've got, you know, depending on, we've lost some guys here, you know, they came declared for the draft and all that and all the situation. But how many guys do you think, let's just say we get Van Pran and Broderick, how many more guys will we take?
I think realistically.
Who do you project those being?
All right, so realistically, I want to go over here and make sure I've got my numbers right as of today. I think you're sitting at 21. Yes. All right. So you got 21 total commitments. So that's counting Van Pran and Jones, obviously. So you've got room, I think, beyond that for probably, I would say, maximum three, maybe two. And
probably that receiver.
Yeah.
We just talked to McConkey.
Yeah. Right. I feel pretty good about that one. And then two others. And then I think that just based on what we're seeing with the offers that are going out right now, I think you definitely want a defensive back to finish this out. And there's a couple of guys I'm watching. There's some guys that we haven't even really talked about yet over at UGASports.com, but we're going to. So get over there and check that out.
Way to tease it.
And then, you know, I think that there's a running back spot available if everything gets cleared up with Edwards or, you know, something comes of this Evans scuttlebutt. So
see, it's your fault now. Your fault.
I think what happens there with your answer is good, and then looking, playing devil's advocate, I think on the running back, it's just going to be what does Dell think.
Sure.
We need to supplement this team along with what course, Coach Smart does. But, you know, you got an influx of a new offensive coordinator now. Does he look at the tape and see some things that he might want to add some other person that on offense? Because we do have a little disparity in the numbers on our defense and offensive sure. allocation on scholarships, don't we?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's like
a little bit slanted.
I mean, but – head coach defense, so you know, but can't get enough of those guys. But
well, that defensive coach really keeps landing five star.
I've really been surprised though that, which is great, shows a lot about. We've only lost, you know, one guy. We lost Otis Reese, but I would have thought we'd had some more guys that aren't getting to play hit that portal.
I did as well.
I guess maybe some of them might wait to the spring and see how it shakes out. But that speaks a lot on how much they believe in getting the opportunity here, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, I had a couple of players tell me I'll be in the portal that never did.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I don't want to say it was those not exit interviews, but the end of the season interview where you go sit down with your position coach or you sit down with Kirby and he's like, hey, here's what you did right. Sure. Here's what you did wrong. Here's what we see going forward. Here's what you need to work on. I think a lot of that was that, you know, you're recruiting those kids to stay when they have that option. And you're like, look, this is – if you do X, Y, and Z, you'll set yourself up for more playing time. Now, are you telling me you're – incapable of doing X, Y, and Z? I know that you're not because I recruited you here. So you do this, and some kids are going to be like, well, I don't think that's fair. I don't like what you're saying. And others have said, you know, no, okay, I'll take you at your word. Let's try it. I'll see you in this fall. I mean, see, we'll go through spring together, and we'll see if I do what you're saying, it matches up.
Sure.
So I think to Coach's point, I knew other players were going to be going into the portal, and they didn't. So that is another good recruiting job, roster management win for Kirby and his staff.
And speaking on his behalf, I just feel like that he is brutally honest with these guys, which is the only way he can be. Yeah. One of the worst things you can ever tell somebody is give them false hope, tell them yeah. they're doing something when they're not. He really lets them – that's why you see so many young guys. A guy like the running back from South Florida played in every kind of special team situations this year and used his eligibility up. But, you know, he really got in and did a good job when he got in the bowl game too. So these kids know they're going to get a shot to get on the field. And then if they prove themselves, kind of like Tay Crowder did on special teams, then he got a shot at linebacker. You know what I mean? So maybe Natori Johnson comes back as an offensive lineman. You know, Schaefer's coming back now. But it's just – I thought it was really, really good that we only had that one situation there on the guy leaving. And, you know, when you see the way Scene played in the game, I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's yeah. hard to think you're going to have a really good shot because that guy's a – I mean –
Yeah, Lewis is legit. There's no two questions about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to point out, I put this on Twitter today, Brock Vandegrift under Kirby Smart, the fourth – five-star quarterback to commit. Jacob Eason re-upped his commitment. I'm counting that. Jake Fromm, Justin Fields. And people kind of gave me hell about it, and they were like, oh, well, you know, what is this? Is this a joke? Because the guy's able to sell it, the position. Yes, some guys left, but like it stopped others from coming in.
See, I posted almost the same thing within like 15 seconds of you doing it because we've been working too long together. We had the same realization at the same time. I put it out there, and I had one guy go, well, which of those guys is taking significant snaps for him? I'm like, listen, idiot. I didn't say it, but as I thought it, I'm like, one of those five stars went the entire first season for Kirby.
You still got to get him there. You got to get, yeah. I mean, that,
and then another
that
guy,
in itself speaks highly.
Yeah, but then the other guy just played, you know, three years for you. So Kirby's had a five-star quarterback, you know, under center
yeah.
4 years here that he
– with three different coordinators, he's been able to get – four or five-star quarterbacks.
Just saying, you know, you can complain about one of them transferring away or two of them transferring away. It's not like Joe Burrow finished up where he started. You know?
Where did we finish this year? Weren't we fourth?
Fourth yep. in the nation with two new coordinators.
You know, everybody's just like me. You feel bad about South Carolina. But, hey, we played the heck out of LSU the first half. I mean – better than anybody the first half down the stretch. Now, of course, Auburn did in the rain, but who knows? LSU had one of those magical years, but if we talk about a mass exodus, I mean, if you had some duct tape right now, that would be good to help them on there, wouldn't it? Good Lord. But I'm sure they'll turn it around. They got good players and all, but losing both coordinators. Well, I guess he's not Ensminger's one, but he lost Brady and Aranda, and then they lose Heisman Trophy guy, and then nine other juniors come out.
They're going to need a
roster.
They're going to need a sheet with new names, faces.
Did you?
Did you hear that?
Did you hear that Bo Pelini might be going back there as a defensive coordinator?
I did hear that.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter yesterday.
That's a possibility. Awesome.
I hope so. All right, we got to wrap this up because I got some stuff to do this afternoon.
You do?
There's another little tease for you. Yeah, get over to UGA Sports.
You going to do some stories?
Maybe around, let's say around 2:30.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're going to work today finally?
Yeah. Why not? I'm sober. Might as well. Get it in while I can.
Big shout out to our friends at Athens Ford, Aaron over at Doors, Your Pie, Academia Brewing Company, 365 Game Day, and 11 Live, of course, if you're watching on 11 Live. Thanks for the 11 Live folks for having me on the air the other day. My apologies for using blue language on air.
What'd you say?
I can't say it, Coach. It's a bad word.
What did it start with?
Started with an A.
Ah.
So you're not allowed to say that, and they had to apologize, and it was my fault, and I sincerely, even though I joked about it, I sincerely apologize for using the wrong word.
Mary Beth Smart on you.
Or Mary Donna.
I was about to say Mary Donna.
I didn't say one bad word. Yeah.
So our shout-out to Love Alive for us. Even if they never had me back, I do appreciate it. So it was
What's today's date?
Today's date is January 21st.
I was going to say this is my last show at being 74 years old, but I got one more maybe.
All right. I hope so.
No, I mean, I got one more show. Hopefully I got a few.
Do you need to tell us?
Do you want to tell us something, Coach?
Hey, yeah.
I got one more show. Maybe.
Hey, get your questions
really
in now.
I really did a poor job on that one.
Get your questions
in. Hey, get
in
them
early.
All in next week. That's it.
All right.
History, man.
Thanks for tuning in.